T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
That's what I'm going to be doing every single night.
Which is why...
No!
I have to steal it.
What are you talking about, Willis?
This is Primetime with Isaac and Suk.
It's going to work. It's passable, okay? This isn't terrible.
The best in local, regional, and national sports.
With no hidden agenda.
Primetime with Isaac and Suk on 1080 The Fan.
What it do?
Ahoy!
What is going on? Wednesday, bros. Wednesday.
Hump day!
Yes, it is. Hump day.
Yeah. Let's get to humping.
Did you hump?
No, I didn't.
Not yet today?
No. My dog was humping some things, though.
He knows.
He was on one today. I don't really know what he was doing.
Hump day. He's not stupid.
He felt a little frisky. He was doing some spinning, which he does. You know, he does the patented boner spin, which, you know, that's his go-to maneuver.
Hey, what's that thing they do when they rub their butt?
Well, that's like the butt scoot. I think that's
what are they doing there?
Well, either you got something itchy, or maybe you got like a worm or whatever. But he does a
I've seen it. You've showed it.
Yeah, he does a pleasure spin.
Right.
Yeah, it gets them all hot and bothered. So he was spinning pretty hard this morning.
Don't we all?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Hey, whatever.
I love a good pleasure spin.
Whatever floats your boat. But then he started randomly just going at things today. I don't know what.
It's hump day.
The deal was, I didn't even think about that. Maybe he was aware of it.
He knows.
He just was a little extra frisky today.
He checked his little doggy iPhone.
Yeah.
And it says hump day on it.
Hey, let's do this. We got him this this thing at Costco. It was like $12, and it was called the doggy fun pack. And let me tell you, he had some fun with it today.
What is it?
Oh, it's just a series of like toys. It's got like a couple little stuffed animals in it and some plastic rubber things and whatnot. And he was taking that literally when he said it was doggy fun time. Yeah, he was partying today with two R's.
I love dogs.
Yeah, they're the best.
They really are. They're just the best.
Well, he's just this fat little roly-poly thing, too. Like, bulldogs, it's like right up my alley. Sometimes I feel bad because you can't really do a lot with them. Like, today it was a little warm, and you really can't walk either one of my dogs for more than 15 minutes. And, like, that's not like a... like, ha-ha, it's funny. Like, they lay down and can't move. And, like, you get worried. You had to, like, go home and, like, douse them with water. Like, if it's warm at all, there is a real limit. And so, like, that point, you're like, God, you want to go on a hike? And they look up at you like, no? You want to push me in a stroller? There's, like, a limit to bulldogs. But then, like, the other days where it's, like, rainy or whatever, like, you take them outside and you throw a ball to them for, like, 8 seconds and they're done for the rest of the day. It's great. Then they just come inside and, you know, spin on the ground and roll around.
I have a dog story that I'd like to tell you guys.
A tale you wish to weave?
It's something I read recently, and I want to see what you guys think about this because I thought it was horrifying. And I forget where they are. I think they're in Virginia, and that actually matters because the state laws factor in here. Mm-hmm. But an old woman died, and she had a dog, a little Shih Tzu,
mm-hmm.
and...
Is that like the little, are they like little hairy things?
That would be one way to describe them, yes.
But aren't they, like they're like yes. little powder puff things,
a
right?
A little bit, yeah. They're, I mean, I don't know.
I don't know if I could,
an old lady dog.
If I could necessarily pick out a Shih Tzu, I think, but I'm not certain.
So the dog goes to the pound.
Yeah, okay. I got it.
Yeah. So you were right.
That's what I thought. Yeah.
Yeah. The dog goes to the pound, mm-hmm. and they're getting ready to adopt the dog out. They're like, the dog's great. I didn't see how old the dog was. I can go look that up, but because I think that matters too. But
I've got, like, in my mind right now, this can go like 9 different ways, and they're all worse than the next. Like, I'm hoping it's not.
Yeah,
like,
it's
what
not
I'm
good.
Envisioning.
It's not good, but it's a moral question. Okay, so the dog goes to the pound, and they're like, this dog is super adoptable.
Sure.
There will be no problem.
Yeah.
Finding it a home.
Because you don't see a lot of that. No offense to the pound dogs, but you don't see like Shih Tzus or French Bulldogs or...
And if you do, they get snatched up.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of...
Some other old lady will come by and be like, oh my God, that's perfect.
Exactly, right? There's like, those dogs like are probably like $3,000, $4,000 when you buy them. The dog that you see at the vet or at the pound, there's a lot of German Shepherd Pit Bull mixes.
Get off my porch.
A lot of that. So yes, this dog was not going to have a hard time getting adopted.
So 2 weeks into it, the family... The executor of the estate of the woman calls and says, we want the dog. And legally, it's theirs because dogs are property. Again, this is where state law comes into play.
Sure.
A little bit. And the dog was the property of her estate. And so the dog goes to the family. They put the dog down. Perfectly healthy dog.
What?
They put it down because...
The family did or the...
The family did because that was in her will.
Oh.
She wanted to be buried with the dog. So they... And you can do that. In Virginia, apparently you can do that. And so they found a vet that put a perfectly healthy dog down to bury the dog with the old woman who had just died.
See, that... What? That's worse than anything I was thinking. What a...
I told you that was horrible.
What a sack of crap.
Yeah,
no offense to the old dead bag, but what the hell, man?
Yeah, like, that's what she wanted.
Well, I don't care. Like, if that was my mom, you know, or my, you know, bless her heart, but if... I guess
what does she know? She's dead.
Yeah, she doesn't have a dog.
She's
but,
not going to know.
Exactly. Like, if she had this beloved pet, yeah, once she was buried, then sure, you know, then fine, I'll wait till the dog dies, and then,
right.
You know, you can bury the dog with her.
But she want... Well, no, you can't, actually. She wanted, seriously, like I read through this the other day and I'll pull up the story and get the specifics, but there are actually a lot of laws restricting what you can bury with the human.
See, I didn't know that. Cause like I see a lot of people, it's like if the husband goes, right. My mom has this and my dad passed, a little over 4 years ago. Which, by the way, Mike wore cargo shorts to his funeral. I just want to get that out there.
Oh, my God. He's never, ever going to let that go.
No.
No, but no.
Ever.
I've accepted that now.
It's great.
Yeah. You don't even care anymore, Mike.
It's just, he's got the Bran Stark look on his face every time I bring it up. Yeah. He
doesn't care.
He just goes three-eyed raven on me. I love it.
You know, it's...
I'm going to go now.
You don't let something like that go. I hold on to that forever.
It's hard to determine what Mike does care about.
Yeah.
Because he's been chastised by our boss for sounding insincere on his two things.
A lack of enthusiasm.
Good luck on his what are those things?
Did not come from the boss.
The cash the
cash locker.
Yeah.
The swinge.
Good luck.
That did not come from the boss.
No. Whatever.
I thought it
might as well have. And then the second one is, what do you say at the end of the lockouts or whatever?
Portland sports leader.
Yeah.
Yeah, he kind of says that like Portland sports leader.
And we want a little more.
Yeah, the boss wants you to sell that S. So Mike doesn't care about much of anything.
I've been working on it.
No, I think I even complimented him off the air when I heard his last good luck and Portland sports leader. I said, hey, you sold those were good.
It was good.
But you have to really needle Mike to care about anything. And
the cargo short
thing, it's over. You will not get him to care about that.
But it amuses me. I enjoy it. I take it's my little ray of sunshine in an otherwise awful, awful day. My point being, so my dad died a number of years ago, but when my mom goes, she's getting buried with my dad. Like, they're doing the dig up and then...
So
like,
you got to put her down, huh?
Yeah, how about that? When my dad and mom want to be together, so do we just... We put the old lady out to pasture and bury him on top. So I assume you could do the same thing with the dog.
Well, this goes... No, you can't. Huh. Now, if it's cremated...
Yeah, sprinkle some ashes.
Right. But if you're actually talking burial, in Virginia, they do allow you to be buried with your pets, but you have to be... It has to be...
Same time?
It has to be at the same time, and it has to be... they're like in a separate area, and it has to be notated, and it has to be like, here lies... Rufus and here lies Gladys, you know.
Interesting.
So there's a whole thing. But yeah, I thought that was horrible. And I wondered how many vets, because that is not against the law, no. Unfortunately.
Yeah.
But how many vets would do that?
Beats the hell out of me. How many families would do that? Like I said, if my mom passed away and she had a dog and she was like, hey, when I die, kill the dog and bury it with me, I'd be like, no. Right. Maybe I would tell her. I'm like, sure, mom, I'll do that. And as soon as she's dead, I'm not doing that. She doesn't know she's dead. I'm not putting down a healthy dog just because your morbid ass wants the dog buried with you. And again, you don't know you're dead. Why kill the poor dog? And by the way, don't tell me that that's a beloved animal if you're willing to kill it for selfish purposes. That's like the worst story that I've heard in months. That's horrific.
Yeah, well, there's also this. Maybe they misinterpreted the will, and she just meant, hey, when old Rufus kicks the bucket, sprinkle a little of him over me or whatever. But
sure.
They took it like at face value.
Boy, that is
went and got the dog and had the dog. There was a vet that put the dog down. The dog is dead.
Freaking vet. Find out who that vet is and let's do like one of those Twitter things where we shame them and like they lose their business. Like anytime anyone does something that we don't like now, we just like put it on Twitter. Like we just put their face up and we're like, Twitter, do your thing. And within like 5 minutes, we find out who it is and then everyone shames them. It's a whole thing. So that what needs to happen to that vet. Like that is just.
Is legal though. See, it should just be illegal.
Yeah, to kill a dog for no reason.
You can't put down a healthy pet.
Yeah.
Like, there would be no circumstance that would allow you to do that, right? Yeah. Like, why is that legal?
Yeah.
The other thing is, I'm reading here. I just pulled it up. It is in Virginia, and it's illegal there to bury an animal's remains, whether it is a dog or any other animal, in a casket in a cemetery. But that law applies only to commercial cemeteries. Private and family-owned cemeteries can be exceptions. And that's what she's got going on.
Huh. That's just a bizarre story. And someone says, yeah, my wife is an office manager for two vets. Neither one of them would put that dog down.
Right.
I would like to believe that most vets wouldn't.
Emma is the little dog's name.
Poor little Emma.
Rest in peace.
Yeah. I mean, it is a shih tzu, so, you know, whatever.
Yeah, you know.
What is the Ron Swanson quote? Any dog that's under 50 pounds is essentially a cat, thus rendering it useless.
Maybe that dog was just the worst dog on the planet, and the family was like, yes.
It's about time. That honestly just really bums me out, though, that someone would do that to a beloved pet. Now, this isn't...
By the way, I'm sorry to bum you all out in the first segment.
Yeah, well,
I thought that was a little bit more of a moral question, but it really isn't.
No, it's not. It's just an awful thing to do.
So there's some hot dead dog news.
We need Mike to cheer us up with some more Portland sports leader. A really enthusiastic go-getter. This person says in the Better You Today text line, listen to you guys a lot. And to be honest, the Portland sports leader was very good today. So
yeah,
you
know, it was good.
People are noticing.
Can we go back and get it? Can we?
Yes.
Thank you. Thank you.
I like how you asked as if we can't get any sound that we have.
And this person saying healthy dogs are euthanized every single day in many shelters. How is this different? Because this dog was adopted out. This dog had a family.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, and you just, you took it for no reason.
Easy to adopt.
Yeah, it's easy to adopt out. This and you put it down for no good damn reason. This wasn't a lack of space. This wasn't a lack of funding. Look, I get it. The shelter business is awful. And I get it. You can't save every dog. And so I understand there's limited resources, limited spaces. But this was just a matter of just being selfish after you're dead. Now, I was going to tell you, this is not like a moral thing, but I found it very weird. My grandmother, who died many, many moon ago, had a cat named Percy. And Percy was, I don't think she made it quite to 20, but was an 18 or 19-year-old cat, one of those. Like, and we thought the cat was going to be dead like 19 times, and it just kept coming back. When the cat died, my grandmother couldn't like bear to bury it. She put it in the freezer and it stayed in the freezer for, I want to say, a good solid 2 years before she built up the courage to bury it.
Forgive me for laughing.
She had a cat in the freezer.
That is not funny.
And
however,
she thought that was better for 2 years to leave it in a freezer.
I couldn't believe it. We went up. They lived up in Anacortes. And I remember we went up there once and my dad was like, go look in the freezer. I'm like, what? And he goes, seriously, go look in the freezer. Like downstairs, they had like a, you know, like a big, what do you call them? Like the chest freezers, the ones that are on their side, you know?
Yeah.
And
put your meat in there.
Yeah, you put your meat in there. And I opened it up and there was three different frozen things or whatever. And just like not like in a box or whatever, like a Ziploc, you know, like gallon bag, like you'd seal up some steaks. Well, there was freaking Percy frozen. I'm like, what the hell? My dad's like, Dad, she can't bury her. We're like, what? I'm like, yeah, she keeps meaning to. They had like a little place out in their yard, like with a headstone ready to go. And she couldn't bring herself to let the cat go. And it sat in the damn freezer. Ah!
Well, you do save money on ice packs. No? Hello? Anyone? If like somebody punched her in the face, just pull out old Percy. See, Percy could.
Portland sports leader.
Oh, there we go.
Oh, yeah. She's excited.
Portland sports leader.
I never asked the question, but I often wonder.
Pretty
like,
good.
Late at night, did she go down and like take
Seattle?
Like take Percy out? Like,
hey, Seattle.
Like prop it up? I mean, it's just.
That would just be cruel.
I thought that was very, very well. Well, it is. It is cruel. You had a cat in your freezer for years.
People are weird.
She was weird. She was a strange.
They're weird. We're weird about our animals, man. Yeah. Like they're. That's a whole nother level of.
Yeah. Oh yeah, Percy was more important than anyone in the family. I can assure you, she loved that cat more than anyone else, including my mom.
Okay. Well, we got to go. There's your first segment. Coming up next.
Who had that one for an opening segment? Who had that on the board?
You know,
I was originally going to tell you.
That old shade drop is just priceless.
I was going to tell you about Parking Kitty.
Parking Kitty.
That was originally my first segment. Do you have Parking Kitty?
Parking Kitty.
It's an app.
No.
For downtown. Mike, do you have it?
I do not. Although every time I pay for it at the little stand, it's like, download Parking Kitty.
Parking Kitty.
Oh, okay.
Greatest thing ever.
I know what you're talking about now.
Greatest thing ever.
So, but I didn't know that was what it was called, Parking Kitty.
Parking Kitty.
But I've done that like there's times you pull in for like a concert or whatever, like up in Seattle, and the only way you can park is to pay for parking is to download that app.
Yeah, Parking Kitty.
Is that what you're talking
about? Is it that one, or it's probably another? It's similar.
I don't know.
It has a parking space number, and then your credit card's attached to it. It's just the easiest thing ever,
yeah,
and it's great.
I've never heard of Parking Kitty per se, but yeah, I know kind of what you speak of now.
Later, that's later.
Is Parking Kitty dead and frozen in a freezer in Anacortes, Washington?
Not yet. Let's start. Do you want to start with the East Finals?
Yeah.
Can we talk about Drake, please?
How awkward is that?
Nope. Let's talk about Drake.
Yes.
And the East Finals and Giannis. Mm-hmm. And what's going on out there? How about that?
I thought Milwaukee was favored against Golden State.
Well, you asked Mark Jackson. They should be.
Yeah, you got to beat Toronto first.
It is 3:16 on The Fan.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, I have quite a few Trailblazers leftovers that we need to get to this week. One of which is the Trailblazers versus the Oregonian. I'd like to talk about that.
Bit of a tift, if you will.
But in honor of Percy the Frozen Cat, let's talk East Finals first.
Seems a bit of a jump there, but all right, let's do it.
Well, Toronto's playing Milwaukee.
Yeah.
I don't know if you knew that.
Both very cold.
2-2 is the series. 2-2, that's two wins on both sides.
Yeah, and everyone had written off the Toronto Raptors after going down 2-0. And not only that, but a lot of people thought Milwaukee was the best team and was going to beat the Golden State Warriors. Well, you got to beat Toronto first because Toronto has now given them the business twice in a row. And as you said, the series is tied up. And this is with Kawhi Leonard playing on a gimpy leg. He's out there limping around.
Well, I like what Toronto's got going on more than some people. I like the Bucks. The Bucks are really good. They won a ton of games. Their statistics are off the charts. But I feel like people sort of crown too early, you know, before. I mean, you got to prove it. You got to prove it when the going gets tough. You got to win it. It's like we were talking yesterday with Lillard. It's, you know, Lillard's elevated his status in the league because they beat Oklahoma City and because they beat Denver. Had they not done that, just two series, had they not done that, he would be lesser in the eyes of many in the league because at some point, doesn't matter how good you are, you have to prove it.
Yeah.
Well, and they had been, I mean, he'd just been continually swept and bounced in the first round with the exception of one year where the two star players on the other team got hurt and they got into the second round and then they got swept.
Well, Toronto's the best example of this.
Actually, they lost in five.
The Raptors have been one of the better teams in the East for years, and they are just a road apple in the playoffs for LeBron James or getting bounced. And
so true.
And so now I love the fact that they swung big. They went and got Kawhi Leonard, and I hope that he ends up staying there. Don't think he's going to. But if they make the finals or if they win, I think it's a lot harder to leave. And I'm with you. I love what Toronto's doing. And this is Milwaukee's first chance on the big stage. And I think it's great. I think this is a really, to me, I know everyone's like bitter because there's no LeBron James out East. I'm loving what Milwaukee and Toronto are doing. I think now that it's a 2-2 series, you should be watching this. This is good basketball.
Okay, so it's interesting you bring up Toronto because they're a good example of a team that was really good in the East.
A one seed.
But never got crowned.
No.
Like Milwaukee. Milwaukee, for some reason, I don't know whether it's Giannis and everybody just loves him. For some reason, people are just over the moon about them. And all I'm saying is, yeah, they're really good, but they've got to prove it. They're only just now into the final two series, and this is where the rubber meets the road in terms of legacies and how good you really are and this and that. And it's 2-2. Who knows? Milwaukee still may win it. They have home court. But one of the reasons I like Toronto is Kawhi Leonard is just an assassin. And two, their bigs, they have length, but also speed with their bigs, enough anyway, the different bigs that they have, Siakam and Gasol and Ibaka and these guys, to at least throw something at Giannis.
Yeah.
And it's kind of working. I mean, Giannis, because he doesn't have much of an outside shot, he is now suddenly hitting turbulence that he has never felt before. And I was thinking about this today before we get to the Drake stuff, which is a whole nother fascinating element of this series. But if you want to get to the meat and potatoes of the series, I think it's really interesting how Giannis has come up. You know, he is from Greece, obviously. And when he was in the draft, nobody really knew what to do with him because all the film on him, he was amazing, but he never left Greece. And so he would play against these ragtag teams. And so you couldn't really tell how that would translate to better competition. That was the thing about Giannis. Everybody knew, it was like, wow, this guy looks really good, but he's not playing against anyone. He didn't go on any of these travel teams or any of these elite teams. So it was like, we don't really know. Well, somebody finally at 15, Milwaukee, took a chance on him. And my God, great move. But he has never been criticized.
No, right? Not really.
He is, like, I think about Zion Williamson. And Zion Williamson coming into the league as the number one pick is going to be scrutinized and picked apart from day one. And Giannis hasn't had that.
Well, I think part of that is
And so I think that, well, my point here is I think that him at 24 years old, remember, he's still young, mm-hmm. and while they're really good, you gotta throw a guy into the fire to really learn what he's made of. And this is the first time, literally the first time that Giannis Antetokounmpo has been thrown into the fire. And it's really interesting to see how he's reacting. He's not played well the last two games. And now his people are pointing fingers at Drake, yelling at Drake about getting off his ass. And so, you know, I'm sitting back going, okay. This, now we've got Giannis who's getting some friction. He's getting some criticism, the likes of which Damian Lillard has seen 10 times over. James Harden has seen this a million times. Russell Westbrook, Chris Paul, these guys are all lightning rods. Giannis has never been that. And he has only just now in this last week gotten some of that. And I think at the age of 24, when you're the leader of the team, I think how you handle that can have a profound effect on whether or not you win this series.
Sure.
I mean, and that's what we're seeing.
You can make the argument that well, Lopez won him the first game, right? And you can make the argument that Middleton has been Milwaukee's best player throughout this series. Giannis really struggled in game three. I think when Kawhi Leonard was guarding him, I think he only went 1 of 9. And then last night, he had a fairly efficient game. He had 25, but only took 17 shots. Like, he was 9 of 17, and he was a little bit passive. And some of this is Toronto is doing a little bit of what we've seen with Damian Lillard, right? They're coming up with a strategy where they're saying Giannis is not going to beat us and we're going to make someone else. And Bledsoe is struggling right now. Lopez certainly hasn't recreated the big game that he had in game one. Or was it game two that Lopez went off? I forget which one. It was either two. One or two. Game two where he had the big game. And so you're right. This will be interesting to see how Milwaukee, but more importantly, how Giannis responds to this. Because you're right. This is the first time that you're probably going to get some criticism. And his thing was, it was such a slow build. Like, when he came in, he didn't start his first year.
Right.
You know, and then the second year, it was just kind of one of those, have you seen this guy? And he was a highlight dunk, you know, sort of guy. And then it was that third year where everyone kind of looked at and said, hey, there's a chance here. This becomes something special. In the last 2 years, we've seen the development of the game where a lot of these guys that come in and they're a top three, top four pick, they start right away, rookie of the year type stuff. I think some of that gets lumped upon him. Like with Zion, right? It's going to be like no one wants to see him take 3 years to develop.
Dude, whereas, from day one, he's going to get it.
Yeah, whereas kind of the nice thing about being a 15 pick or being an overseas guy is you just kind of get to slide into it, and he got to kind of grow and let his game mature and not have to carry your team or not have the weight on his shoulders coming into the league.
You could look at that the other way too and say that is a nice thing on paper, but maybe it's not serving him very well right now because this is a pressure cooker.
Yeah.
And they are applying pressure to him.
He's got to go.
And this is what people expect, and they are going to be hard on you, and you better stay off social media. And if you have a thin skin and you're only, again, he's only 24 years old, these guys aren't, they're not perfect.
There's a good chance he's the MVP this year.
This is what
Harden gets, right? If you're going to be an MVP guy, you can't disappear or have average series when you get to this point in the season.
I just think this is a great test to find out what he's made of. So let's see if he passes it first I'm saying about the Bucks.
Well, and Kawhi can pass the test. He's proven it.
Yeah. Yeah. I think he's a finals MVP.
He is. That leg that he's playing on though, that thing's nowhere near 100%. He's out there, and I get it. Like Lillard did this too, but this kind of goes along with the separated rib thing. There's not many guys that are healthy right now.
It doesn't seem to matter.
Everyone's playing through something. And if you watched last night, he was limping a lot on that leg.
He's still fantastic, and he's managed to tie the series. So, okay, when we come back, I'm going to play the audio of when Giannis got drafted and what they said on there, because I think it's interesting.
Have you seen the photo of him?
Yeah, he was like, very skinny. He looked like Kevin Durant.
Yeah, it's a whole thing.
And they'll compare him to Kevin Durant on there. You'll hear that next. But also, Drake. Is Drake cool? Like, do people think he's cool?
He's the worst fan in all of sports.
Well, outside of sports, is he still like a big? Yeah, I mean, I know he's a big deal, but is he seen as cool, or is he like more? Who's that guy? Pitbull? Is he like Pitbull, or is he the epitome of cool?
He's a big deal.
Drake's a big deal.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I know he's a big deal. I'm saying
he's cool.
He is. People think he's like the bee's knees.
Yes, he is an influencer, if you will.
And that's why they're not messing with him.
Yes.
But in sports, he is the king douche.
There is no bigger sports douche right now
bigger
than Drake.
Couldn't agree more.
Hands down.
Let's get to that coming up as well. But first, Mike with SportsCenter.
Prime time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
Here he is, Drake. Mr. Cool.
Now we're getting the inevitable, like, Drake sucks. Every guy hates him. Dude, Drake's a big deal.
Again, we know he's a big deal.
Yes.
I think the question is,
he's not Pitbull. He is nowhere near Pitbull.
Pitbull passed over into like a sellout type guy, right?
Drake,
am I wrong about that?
Yes. But like when Drake releases like Nike, does collaborations.
Am I right about that?
You're right about that.
Yeah. Okay.
But like Drake does collaborations with like Nike, and it's a huge deal. When he puts out video, it's a huge deal. Like he hangs around with LeBron James and Like his music is a big freaking deal.
I mean, his brand new private plane at Turks and Caicos Airport this year.
Yeah, you can say that maybe girls like him more than guys. Maybe, but that's a lot of times the guys have a hard time with someone that's a lot more popular with the opposite sex. Drake is not in any way Pitbull. That's a big, huge A-list star.
He's on his way to being Pitbull, though, right? Like, at some point, I mean, he was on Degrassi.
I know. But he's,
it doesn't. He has.
But
no,
Pitbull never reached the heights that Drake is. I mean, Drake is massive.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
He's huge.
That's true. But he just doesn't. There's nothing cool about him. From my uncool viewpoint, you know, like he's
corny.
Yeah. He is very corny. Is a great word. He's so corny.
Yeah. Well,
I don't get it.
He's really, really successful.
Well, you do get it. He's the wheelchair kid from Degrassi. He's corny. I mean, that's how he
but
started.
Yeah,
he was a child actor. He's not some cool rapper.
You guys are making the case that everybody thinks, not that he's not a big deal. It's just that everybody thinks he's like cool. Like Steve McQueen was cool.
Yes.
Give me other guys that are.
No
like,
one is as cool.
George
as Steve,
Clooney.
No one is as cool as Steve
is
McQueen.
Is just cool.
Yeah.
A little goofy, but dude, the guy exudes cool.
Yes.
There's nothing cool about Drake. Again, I have a very uncool viewpoint here.
Yes.
But just one guy's opinion. I don't see that. And that's anyway. Who cares? Okay, so let's get to Giannis. Well, we're gonna get to the Drake thing.
We'll get to Drake
because there's a whole nother segment on him. We haven't even. Here's what's crazy. We've been talking about Drake for 5 minutes. We haven't even started the segment on Drake yet. And why we're talking about
and
him.
Shoulder massages.
But let's wrap up the Giannis talk. We were talking about Giannis. And one of the reasons I was bringing up, hey, this is a big test and he's never been scrutinized and, you know, here we go, is because there's a story out about how Milwaukee handled last night's loss. That apparently their media was like, oh, man, it was like a Morgan there and they were quick to leave. Nobody was really talking. And so I was thinking about Lillard and, you know, the Blazers had their share of adversity in the playoffs. And when they were hammered in game five by Denver and they were down 3-2, I just remember watching Lillard and his demeanor. He's just, speaking of cool, he's just Joe Cool. Like he doesn't change. Like he clearly showed that he had been in those moments enough to know how to handle them. And that's my only point with Giannis is this is an amazing test on the biggest stage to see how he handles things. And as the team leader of that team, if I'm a Bucks fan, I don't like hearing that he's not very even keeled. His people are now starting to point fingers at Drake about the whole Drake situation. And then the locker room's really quiet in there and nobody's talking. Well, and like that's a sign that maybe Antetokounmpo is succumbing to a little bit of pressure here.
Well, think about it. If you're Milwaukee, you've cruised through the entire year. I mean, right? I mean, there hasn't really been much adversity for Milwaukee all year. You've cruised through the playoffs. You're up 2-0 in Toronto. Everyone's saying that you're the best team in basketball, saying that you're going to beat whoever comes out of the West.
Did I see this stat correctly? That was the first time they'd lost two games in a row this year.
Whoa.
See, I don't know. But they have the best record in the NBA.
The first since very early in the season.
But they have a better record than Golden State. That's the best team in the NBA.
Yeah, they get home court.
Everyone's talking about the advanced metrics, right? You've seen that where you look at like efficiency, like offensive and defensive efficiency, that it's right up there with all these NBA champions. I mean, everyone's been in love with Milwaukee. We're crowning them. And, you come out, you beat Toronto two in a row. And everyone's like, the series is over, right? You're on easy street. You're cruising your way to the finals. And then all of a sudden, Toronto comes back and kicks you in the teeth. You lose one in OT. Now you come out and lose one by 18. This is the first time all year that Milwaukee has had to deal with any of this.
And well, I'll tell you what, game one, too. Toronto really played well in game one.
Yeah.
Milwaukee won that game and deserved to, but they were dangerously close to losing that one, too.
Yeah, they were down big early. Right?
That's right. Toronto outplayed him right out of the game.
And Milwaukee came roaring back, so it easily could be 3-1. But you're right. This is kind of a put-up-or-shut-up time for Milwaukee, and it's not a real experienced team. Like, I'm trying to think of, has Lopez or Bledsoe or any of these, Mirotić, have they been on teams that have made deep runs into the playoffs? I mean, I'm looking up and down their roster, and I think for the vast majority of players, this is probably uncharted territory for them.
And that's what I'm saying.
It's been a really smooth season.
Especially when your leader is 24 and never been criticized, you know. So anyway, something to think about. They did lose back-to-back games March 2nd and March 4th of this year to Utah and Phoenix. But that's the only time, regular season or postseason, they lost back-to-back games.
That's the only one. Well, now you've
until
lost.
Until these last
until
two.
Until these last two. Well, now how much pressure is this now coming back to game five? Right, you lose this one, you lose three in a row, and you lose it on the home court. I mean, this is
getting good, man.
This is do or die time. And if you're Golden State, you're just sitting back with what, 9-10 days off, smiling, hoping this thing goes seven.
This is, and get healthy. But this is where you build legacies. You know, this is the time.
You just wonder though, with a team that's that young, like you said, with a star that's 24 years old, how many of them get there for the first time and win it? Without a whole lot of adversity.
Again,
right?
Exactly my point. No. I'm just saying, careful crowning the Bucks. I know they're good, but a lot of things to consider. Here is Giannis Antetokounmpo. So the night he was drafted, and that was the CJ McCollum draft.
Yeah.
So the Blazers passed on Giannis Antetokounmpo.
As did 14 other teams.
For CJ McCollum. And whoever drafted Maurice Harkless, I want to say Maurice Harkless was also drafted before Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Was that the Clippers or was that...
I thought he was in Orlando.
Maybe I'm thinking of Aminu that came from the Clippers.
Yes, because Olshay drafted Aminu.
That's right.
The Clips.
Yeah.
I think Harkless might have been Orlando. Anyway, here is what they were saying about Giannis the night he was drafted. By the way, listen to how many times they butcher his name, which you can't fault him for.
And they did change it. At one point, his last name was something different. When he first was over in Greece.
Didn't know that.
And they, believe it or not, I think this one is a shortened, easier version than what the other one was.
They struggle with it.
Yeah.
And it's kind of funny.
And you're right. Harkless was Orlando. Aminu was the...
With the 15th pick in the 2013 NBA draft, the Milwaukee Bucks select Giannis Adetokounmpo from Athens, Greece. He last played for Phil Athleticos in Greece.
Well done, Commissioner Stern. Well done indeed. Now it is time to see who has unlimited potential. Brought to you by Sprint, and certainly Giannis Adetokounmpo would fit that mold. An 18-year-old player, has some size, loves Kevin Durant. Fran Fraschilla follows the international game closely. Fran, what do we have here in Adetokounmpo?
What we have, Reese, is the youngest player in the draft and the most mysterious. This young man did not leave the country of Greece until 3 weeks ago when he played in a tournament in Italy. And he was fortunate because at that tournament, all 30 NBA teams could see him and not worry about the YouTube videos. He's got a Kevin Durant body. He handles the ball like a point forward. He's got a great feel for the game, and he's a great kid with a high motor. But this is a pick that is certainly going to be a future pick. Think of this young man, Milwaukee Buck fans, as a McDonald's All-American that needs a development program. We're looking down the road, but a great talent with a great feel for the game. Can you put him in an NBA game right now? You probably cannot. But in the long-term picture, this kid has as much upside as most anybody in this draft. Handles the ball well, a willing passer, and a young man that I think is going to get better and better. John Hammond and the Bucks have got to have a good development plan for this young man because he's going to need some strength, some development in terms of a player, but they've got a guy for the future. A lot of teams liked him. Who was going to take him first? Milwaukee at 15.
Nailed it.
And Adetokounmpo was a guy who has no interest in being stashed, and given what we just talked about with the Bucks, they're not going to do that. You're going to have to put him in an NBA game, aren't they?
I studied him extensively on YouTube, and I thought he looked like a Greek Paul George. Now, he was going against an 8th grade CYO team, but I was still really impressed by some of the stuff he was doing. And he's got giant hands. He grew 3 inches in the last, 12 months. Fran said if he was, a high school All-American, he would have been one of the top 5 guys coming into college. I like the pick. Unfortunately for Milwaukee, that's a reset button. Now they're rebuilding.
But also, in a market like Milwaukee, you must draft well or trade for players while they're already under contract, because normally they don't attract free agents and they don't normally overpay to get free agents.
Like Indiana.
These are the type of picks that you hope work out if you're a Bucks fan.
How do you develop them? Do you put them down in the D League or do you keep them on the big roster and play them?
You got to keep them on the big roster at this point. Allow them to work with your guys on a daily basis, practice with your team, travel with your team, get used to the NBA experience.
And Jalen has the key point here. His name is Giannis Adetokounmpo. Jalen says he's going to be called Bo. That's what his teammates will call
Metro's
him.
Not
he can get rid of all the other letters.
Absolutely.
He's just Bo from now on.
Absolutely. Get those bags, Bo.
Yeah.
So they pretty much nailed it outside of his name. No, that was a pretty good breakdown.
That was his name. So he changed it. So his when he came into the draft, I was reading through a draft profile of him. It was Adetokounmpo.
B-O.
So
he changed a letter in his name.
Well, he changed a bunch of letters.
Well, yeah, there's T's instead of D's.
Yeah, there's an N in there.
And there's an N now. Yeah. It was Adetokounmpo.
Now, was it the spelling that it changed or just the pronunciation?
Both. So he was known as Antetokounmpo. That was how it was. I was reading through a draft profile. It doesn't say why he changed it, but I guess the reason why he couldn't go anywhere else to play is his parents were from Nigeria. They immigrated to Greece, but they couldn't get official Greek status. They were like refugees. Hmm. So for Greek bureaucracy, he didn't have a passport. Hmm. And he didn't have, they fled Nigeria. So he didn't have a Nigerian passport. The Greek government wouldn't give his family one. So he wasn't a citizen.
He's like Cantor.
Yeah. He was
a man without a land.
He did not have a country. So all those time, it wasn't like he was hiding in Greece. He couldn't go anywhere. Greece basically they put up a border and was like, you can't leave. No one else would have let him in.
Isn't his last name Greek? Antetokounmpo? Or is that Nigerian?
I have no idea. It doesn't say NY. It just says that he was then
known. A lot of letters in that way makes me think Greek last name. But
never questioned it.
Yeah.
So he changed it.
There was no N, and it went from Bo to Poe, and there was some M's added in there for I have no idea why, but everything changed.
So am I mistaken that he has two N's in his last name?
So this is his current name, Antetokounmpo.
Right there.
Yeah, Antetokounmpo.
That second N.
Kounmpo.
Why is that in there?
I don't know.
And he added it.
Yes.
And swapped a B for a P. This is fascinating.
Yeah.
And got rid of a D and made them T's.
Yep. I mean, I guess they're somewhat similar. It's called a sex change.
You know what this means? This means, you know that little C that you have next to the S in your name?
Yeah.
It can be a J.
I can just change that and still pronounce it Sukanic, right?
Sukanic?
It is true.
What? We might need that.
Oh, it's already. That's swing spelled S-W-I-N-J. What was that noise?
What were you doing there?
I was trying to think of what S-J-K would sound like.
He went all Chrissy Teigen, says
one of
our
texts. Be careful, please.
That's right.
How do you pronounce S-J-K?
The way you just did was perfect.
Yeah, there is a C in my name that
You'll be able to hear it again in about 5 minutes.
Yeah, there is a C in my name that makes absolutely no sense.
Portland sports leader.
All right. That is Giannis talk.
Yeah.
So we'll see how he reacts.
But every time you see someone drafted internationally, like at 15 or whatever, they always say that upside, and we all just roll our eyes at it. This one actually turned out to be right.
I mean, Fran Fraschilla was really good with that.
Yeah.
Analysis. Pretty much everything he said ended up being right. Now to Drake talk next on The Fan.
First name greatest, like a sprained ankle, boy, ain't nothing to play with.
Prime time with Isaac and Suk on 1080 The Fan.
So here's the thing about Drake. Sports Drake, not hip-hop Drake. Why is he allowed to do whatever he wants in an NBA game?
I think what this boils down to is it's Toronto, and they're just happy that there's a super fan. I don't think it's necessarily Drake is.
Well, they have the super fan guy. They have the guy with the turban who's a big super fan. That guy is always right under the basket.
Yeah, but he's not famous.
He is, though. Have you ever read about that guy?
What's he do?
They love that guy. He's an auto dealer.
Okay.
He's huge there.
I understand.
He hasn't missed a game in like 20 years.
One's one of the biggest names in hip hop and pop culture. The other guy owns an auto dealership. My point is this.
But they're both super fans.
Like if all of a sudden I'm trying to think of like who's another big, like if Rihanna decided that she was going to move to Portland and become the Trailblazer super fan.
Instead, we got Daniel Baldwin.
Exactly. She could use Terry Stotts as a pole and spin around him and we'd be like, ah, it's great. They're just happy he's there bringing attention to the Great White North.
I guess that is true. So it doesn't fall on Toronto as much as it does the NBA because Toronto loves it and they're not going to mess with him because...
No, and he's one of their own. Like, he's from Canada.
Yeah, he's actually... Well, I mean, he is a real fan, I guess. I mean...
Yeah,
I don't know. It's funny how he shows up when, like...
Well, it's a sports curse. Like, it's a going thing that Drake is a bit like Bieber, is that he'll just put on whatever. So
wasn't he, like, suddenly an Astros fan recently when they won it?
So basically, if he wears one of your jerseys, look out because you're going to lose. Like, he went down with Conor McGregor during the Khabib fight, and he got his ass kicked, and... Like, he's just, the Kentucky, when they were undefeated, he was wearing the Kentucky jersey, and they lost, I think, to Wisconsin.
So that's what it was.
He's Kentucky. Viewed as a bad luck curse, but for Toronto.
So he's a front runner.
Yes,
but Toronto
is. But he loves the Maple Leafs, and he loves the Raptors. That's his team.
I got you. All right. So he is a legitimate Raptors fan.
Yes. And apparently he's allowed to do whatever the hell he wants to do.
It is so annoying, is it not?
Yes.
What is the league like? So I get that Toronto doesn't want to mess with him because he's a, like, you don't mess with Drake. Like, you're like you just said, you're happy to have him down there. Everybody's talking about him, but holy crap, how much can a fan interject? And that's what he is. It has nothing to do with the game.
No.
how much can a guy be allowed to interject into a game? Like, he is down on the sideline rubbing the shoulders of the head coach during the game.
I have never seen anything quite like this.
What if Paul Allen, rest in peace, what if Paul Allen got up in the middle of a timeout and walked over and started rubbing Terry Stotts' shoulders? How would we feel about that?
I don't think anyone could handle it.
We would think that would be the weirdest thing ever.
There was like 9 minutes left in the fourth quarter. Is it Nick Nurse? I think is the guy.
By the way, love that guy.
Nick Nurse.
Nick Nurse is fantastic.
Like, he's going over there and he's clapping as his team's walking off, and Drake walks down the scores table, puts his arms on his shoulders, and gives him a quick little, how's your father?
Well, and he's...
But Nurse doesn't do anything. He's no. just...
Like he, what's he supposed to do? See, that's the thing, is like, Nurse is the coach of the team.
Yes.
He is in the throes of very important work. And he has to freaking step around and watch out for Drake?
Never seen anything like it.
It just shouldn't be that way. I mean, stunning. I get that he's a fan and it's fun to have him down there, but holy crap. Well, Bill Walton was on the Blazers bench the other night. Did you see that?
Yeah, but...
Out of nowhere, he's just down at the end of the bench. Like, the NBA, you can just pretty much... If you're famous... You can do whatever you want.
He walks down like he is in front of the scorer's table.
Colin Kaepernick was there the other night in the Nike seats, Larry Miller seats.
But I don't think Colin Kaepernick can get up and go high-five Terry Stotts, can he?
It sounds like they don't care. He probably put on a freaking Blazer jersey and they put him in there. Like, it's Colin. Go ahead.
Remember when Tony Romo dressed down for a Mavericks game?
Yeah.
And there were some people that were like, why didn't you put him in? You can't. Doesn't work that way.
Yeah, he was in warm-ups and everything.
Yeah, he went through the warm-up line. But, like, you can't just throw, like, someone a jersey and then in a blowout, have him run out there on the floor. It doesn't quite work that way.
So he is, for those texting in, we know, like, the Raptors, he is an actual ambassador for the team. They have dubbed him that.
Okay, so he's like...
His relationship...
Yeah, Jerome Kersey did that here.
Yeah. Yeah, so that is a thing. I don't think he's part owner, but he may own a minority... I mean, I don't know. He may own part of it. I know he's not obviously a
Even
major
then,
owner.
I still don't think you can do that. Can Jody Allen now go over?
What if Jody Allen just goes over and starts grabbing crotches? Like, hey, Mo. Oh, there we go. What were you trying to say there?
Well, that was me trying to, an SJK.
Sujanic?
Yeah. Sujanic.
What? All right. Well, let's continue this coming up.
And no, he does not own a piece of the team.
He doesn't. Okay.
No, I looked at it. If you do Google, does Drake own, it pops right up. Does Drake own the Raptors? And it says no, but there's a partnership there.
It is fascinating how he's allowed to do this.
Yeah, and like he's he's giving him the business to the Bucks.
Let's come back and talk about that, because some of it's just fun. It's like, okay, if Nick Nurse doesn't mind, you know, is this really that big of a deal? Whatever. But he is now pissed off the Bucks. And I wonder where the line is on this. So that's what we'll get into coming up next. It's 402. This is The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.